Jamie Bigelow makes a living building houses in suburbia. He takes a dim view of his profession. For Bigelow, most suburbs don't let neighbors be, well, good neighbors. After all, homes are too far apart for people to really meet one another, and everyone has to drive far for work or to just go shopping. According to Bigelow, families are looking for something better.
We believe that there's a growing market for people who want to be interconnected and live in interconnected neighborhoods, and housing, primarily in the suburbs, no longer supplies that.
So about 10 years ago, Bigelow and his father tried building one of these interconnected neighborhoods in a Chicago suburb. They wanted shops and parks nearby. They also wanted to close some streets to cars so kids could play safely near home. But one detail nearly derailed the project. Under the plan, houses would sit close together on small lots. The local zoning board hated this idea. According to Bigelow, they said small houses would break the local school district's budget.
They want large houses on large lots, because for the school district, that will give them a lot of taxes with not as many kids because there's not as many housings.
The planners wanted Bigelow to build bigger, pricier houses. Bigelow and his family fought that and eventually won. They did build that compact suburban neighborhood. But victories like that are rare. Often the area's local governments try to protect schools' tax revenue by promoting large homes and lawns.
They're actually behaving or reacting very rationally.
That's Mary Sue Barrett in the Metropolitan Planning Council, a Chicago-based planning and advocacy group. She says growth sometimes overwhelms schools, and it can catch taxpayers and parents off guard.
They don't have the revenue from their local property tax to pay for hiring teachers, so their class sizes become 32, 33. And that family who said, wait a minute, I came out here for great schools. Now I'm going to an overcrowded school. It's the last thing that I thought was going to happen.
From the school's perspective, larger lot sizes solve this problem. Big lots mean fewer kids per acre. Larger houses bring in more property taxes. And that means higher taxes cover costs for the few kids who do move in. Barrett says the trend's strongest in states like Illinois, where schools rely heavily on property taxes. She says in the short term, the strategy keeps schools flush. But it also pushes the suburban frontier outward into rural areas. That wastes land and hurts our quality of life. The day's over for this high school in northern Illinois. A throng of teens heads toward a line of 30 yellow school buses. Some of them spend up to 3 hours per day riding between school and home. Inside, Superintendent Charles McCormick explains what's behind the long rides. He says the district's large size is partly to blame, but there's another reason. The area's subdivisions are spread among cornfields, far from existing towns and from each other.
Well, the land use pattern itself disperses the students. So when you look at what bus routing means, the position of one student can add 10 or 15 minutes to a route.
McCormick says local governments in his school district encourage big homes and lots. But even his schools can barely keep up with the cost of educating new students. He says suburban planners just can't risk bringing in smaller homes and more kids.
Well, if you were to run a business the way growth affects school districts, you'd be broke. Because you cannot keep up with rapid growth that produces, for every student, a deficit.
That's because even high property taxes don't fully pay for each student's education. Land use experts say reliance on property taxes for education puts suburbs in a tight spot. Some want smaller houses or even apartments, but school funding's a major stumbling block. Like other reformers, Mary Sue Barrett has been pushing for an alternative. She wants state government to kick in a bigger share of education dollars. The idea is to have enough funding for each kid, regardless of how large or expensive their home is.
And if we have a different way of paying for our schools that's less dependent on the property tax, we'll begin to move away from this problem that's really put a chokehold on so many communities.
It'll be an uphill fight because states are reluctant to change their tax structures. But Barrett says it's worth the political cost. She says if we want alternatives to suburban sprawl and its traffic congestion, we need new ways to pay for education. For the GLRC, I'm Sean Ali.